This week in your parents' basement, we're charging up our ice beams and blasting away space aliens with missiles. From 1994, we're playing Super Metroid by Nintendo's Research and Development Division 1. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the regular co-host that nuzzled a sweet little Metroid in his bosom. It's Huell Hauser.
The last Metroid is in captivity. The galaxy is at peace.
And our other co-host, he's escaped a variety of space stations in less than 3 minutes. It's Todd Brisket. But tonight, he couldn't escape his workstation. However, he might join us later. Today, we're joined by a special guest. He's done slaying alien soldiers in the jungles of Contra and venturing across the Commonwealth for now. So he's going to talk a little Super Metroid for us. It's Backsack.
Hey, spoiler alert, Samus is a chick.
Oh, come on. You can reach
That's
us by
spoiler
email.
Alert.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. We all want to buy box copies of BB's Kids. Or Bebe's Kids.
Bebe's
Either
Kids.
One.
Of course.
Both of them.
Bebe.
Bebe. Some people say BB, some people say Bebe.
Mario.
Regardless,
Mario.
There are kids involved.
Low age.
Today's game is Super Metroid from 1994. In 1987, the original Metroid for the NES set the standard for an action-adventure sort of game. You played as bounty hunter Samus Aran, and unlike other games of the time, it was important to backtrack, to collect different items and weapons, and to harvest and conserve energy for difficult boss battles. Metroid was followed by a direct sequel for the Game Boy in 1991 that added some gameplay elements and powers, and then by Super Metroid in 1994. Spoiler for Metroid 2 here. At the end of that game, Samus kills the Queen Metroid, and little baby Metroid thinks that Samus is its mother. Samus, yeah. Sweet little baby boy, Metroid.
Sweet little baby Metroid.
Yeah. Samus brings the Metroid to a science lab for study, but it's freed by the space pirate slash dragon thing, Ridley, which sets Super Metroid into motion. That's what you, when you first fire up this game, that's kind of the little prologue that you play in the first 5 minutes. Now, this is actually my favorite Super Nintendo game, and it was nominated by Backsack for coverage as well. The game celebrates its 22nd anniversary today, when this podcast releases on Monday. So, Sack, why don't you start this little chat off for us?
Well, you know, I have so many memories of playing Super Metroid, it's really hard to pick just one. So I think I'll just say that I really appreciated the fact that it was based on Metroid, which I did play a lot. And as I said, Samus is a girl, so there's that. And you know, I'll be honest, I'm not gonna lie. I didn't really play the game, so yeah, I don't really have much to say.
Why wouldn't you lie?
Well, just I guess for the sake of good pod.
I love the missiles. I love the spinny part. I love pooping bombs. I love it all.
I watched a YouTube video of the gameplay, and I noticed that there was a gun you could get that had multiple projectiles, so that was cool. Did you ever get that one?
Is that because it reminded you of Contra?
It did. It all goes back to Contra.
Anything Contra-like. Right there.
Contra I'm into.
I'm there.
No, well, that that is the same S gun here, although S in Metroid stands for Spazer.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw that was a weird word.
Yeah.
Weird future-y words.
Well,
you know, this is Japanesey. There's a lot of weird words in this one.
Well, let me ask you, how long, I remember Metroid, the original Metroid, was long as heck and took forever, and you had to write down all the codes, right, to get back to where you needed to go. I'm pretty sure I had a few instruction booklets where I wrote all the codes in the back. I actually found a couple of those a few years ago when I was cleaning out my room. But
you had four blank pages to write notes on.
Uh-huh. I'm assuming Super Metroid, you could say, probably had a battery.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it did.
Okay.
Now, there's only certain points you could save in the level, but you could save to a battery.
Yeah. Now, okay. Super Metroid is way milder on the difficulty, and I've beaten it like 4 or 5 times. And before we started, I got up to the final boss, but I didn't have time to go and beat the mother brain. But the final boss also isn't the hardest enemy in the game. It's the second to last boss fight is against Ridley, and he is probably the hardest. So the dragon looking thing that's in every Metroid game.
Do they have those floating corn cobs that kind of follow a parabola as they go across the screen?
I don't even know what a parabola is, so you're gonna have to.
Oh man!
You know, oh boy! You know the
podcast is this.
They go low and then they go up and then they go down.
Oh, like
a wave.
Yeah, like wave.
Oh, like the Medusa heads in Castlevania.
There you go.
Yeah, is that even a parabola? I don't know.
No.
math experts over here.
I think a parabola is only like one section of that, just like one dip down.
Ah, okay. Well, then, it follows a sine wave, exactly. There you go. Good job.
I knew math once.
Like pretty much all of the enemies from the first Metroid return in this one. Okay. You have like the weird little ball things that cling to platforms and like kind of go around them. Those are probably the most common enemy from the first Metroid. They have like I don't know, bees and insects that kind of come out of tubes.
Okay.
Like that's a consistent feature of the series. Yeah, yeah, well, in steady
lots of tubes.
Rhythmic patterns, and they only come one at a time. So, that's always a plus.
But they only come like when you're really close. So then you got to be quick.
Yes, proximity based.
One thing I've learned from listening to this show, and I am a dedicated listener. I'm a big fan. Big fan.
Third time, long time.
Exactly. Yeah, I've learned that a lot of these old Nintendo games have incredibly elaborate backstories. Is this any different?
This one does have an elaborate backstory, but it's in other games. So, like when you start this game up, it, as I said, you go through the space station that's supposed to be holding a little baby Metroid for study. Except Ridley breaks it out in the first scene of the game, and you have to escape you have to escape from there. But then after that point, it's pretty much you're just back on the planet of the first Metroid game. Going back through areas that you've been before and, you know, kind of seeing stuff like that.
So you don't go into, like, the hundreds of years of history of Samus's home planet and...
No. Later games do that. That came out for, like, the GameCube and the Wii. Two mixed results there.
I disagree, but...
Well, chronologically, the Metroid series is kind of it's kind of all over the place. Let's see.
Well, these first three are right in sequence.
Yes, you are correct.
So, as far as you say with the backstory, you're right. It's in the other two games. So, it's just continuing the adventure.
I mean, originally, yes, it was Metroid was the first game. Return of Samus is the name of the Game Boy game, which is, by the way, that is a stellar game. I had that for Game Boy. It's awesome. Then came Super Metroid, which is, they could have just called it Metroid 3 or given it a proper name. And then from there, things kind of spiral all over the place. Like between Metroid and the second game, there are now 4 games that fall timeline wise. And after Super Metroid, there are 2 games.
Is Metroid Prime before the first Metroid? It's a sort of a prequel, right?
Metroid Prime comes after the first Metroid, but before the second. Here's the actual chronology. It goes Metroid / Zero Mission, which is... Zero Mission is an expanded Metroid for the Game Boy Advance. That tells you like how Samus gets off the planet and that kind of stuff. Then Metroid Prime.
He's dying to know that.
I know. Everyone really wanted a rundown of the whole Metroid series. Metroid Prime, Hunters, Echoes, Corruption, Return of Samus, Super Metroid, Other M, and then Fusion. And then, I don't know, there is not a main Metroid game that has been announced yet. So, that's what we have for now. But
yeah. All right.
But no,
this one,
as far as plot elements in Super Metroid, it's purposely kind of minimalist because the series originally was kind of based on Alien and Aliens. Like that's kind of the aesthetic Nintendo was trying to steal. So for the most part, that little bit of voiceover at the beginning of the game is the only story you get. Like after that point, it shows a little bit of story in that you, spoiler guys, in case you were gonna play through this one after the show, you eventually run across that sweet little baby Metroid, and it is not a sweet little baby Metroid anymore. It is it is a huge goddamn monster that you cannot kill, and thankfully it sucks you down to one energy point left and then leaves because it recognizes Samus. Nice. Yes. Thankfully you run into an energy fill-up station. This is in like the final area of the game. So you run into that energy fill-up station like before you actually run into more normal Metroids, but it is not fun. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the story with these Metroid games is kind of told in-game.
Yes.
It's like you're experiencing it, and you're the one kind of controlling it.
Yes.
And going as you go through the game.
Mm-hmm. I think in the in movie parlance, they show, they don't tell.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's like using a phone sex line, too.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Now I...
Oh wait, no, that's the opposite. Never mind.
I did play the first one a bit, but I did play this one as a Ute, and it was very fun going back and playing this again. And this is one of the few games that we've covered where I actually wanted to, like, I was looking forward to going back and playing again. Like after I started this week, I was like, oh man, I can't wait to go play Super Metroid some more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely a good sign of a good game. Where I just wasn't like, I wasn't bored of it or dreading playing it for the show or stuff like that.
No, so. it's held up pretty well. I mean the art style is, it's just vibrant colors. It's 2D, so you don't have anything weird going on like with Star Fox. Star Fox looks kind of weird nowadays. No, it's just 2D. It's pretty easy. My girlfriend was actually watching me play and she was like, oh, that looks cool. So. You know,
it draws you in because it does the trope that I love where it shows you areas you can't get to yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're in your mind of, like, needing different items and upgrades that you get along the way to go back to.
Yeah.
And backtracking is a huge part of Metroid games. And in some games it can be a pain, but they structure it well enough in Metroid where you actually want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to figure out what's behind that door, that wall you can't blow up. And
yep.
That's the big hook of the Metroid games.
Did you guys have strategy guides for it back in the day, like a book that you buy?
I don't think I did, no.
Oh, I did.
Oh, look at this guy.
Well, you'd probably need it for the first one.
Yeah, for the first one,
but
for sure.
Super Metroid's straightforward enough.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
First one, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I had a book that had the whole... like the map of the whole thing, like
yeah, the maps.
You can see
key.
Every room, yeah. Because otherwise, you get lost. Forget it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
With
Super Metroid, you can. There's a map room on each level that.
Oh okay.
You eventually have to find, and then once you find that, it shows you the full map of the one area that you're in. So that helps you out a lot. Yeah.
Although
you can see where you haven't been.
Yeah. Although obviously the map area that it gives you in the little rooms, like it has there's still like a good portion of the hidden rooms are still hidden and off the beaten path a little bit, but it's definitely the original Metroid. Like I played that as a kid, and actually, I have a box copy of it, which
oh,
is
oh boy,
yeah, I'm gonna retire with it someday. but
probably
like that original Metroid, it just wasn't very friendly at some points. Like it, like you couldn't switch weapons. Like to switch weapons, you had to go back and find it where it was originally,
yeah.
Because you need to. Like, in the first Metroid, you have to beat Kraid and then Ripley. And then you have to go back after you beat Ripley. You need to get that ice beam. Because yep. because otherwise, the Metroids in the final stage, they just, like, kill you immediately.
Yep.
They are almost as tough as the bosses. And then
yeah.
I still have, even with emulator assistance, I have never beaten the original Metroid because of that final area where you have to shatter the glass case of
yep.
the Mother Brain.
Yep.
And while you're trying to do that, like there's a lava pit underneath you, and there are just these rings that are constantly knocking you off the platform.
Yeah. It's a bitch.
It is hellish. Did you ever manage to beat that original game?
I think I did. I don't remember for sure. Let's just go with yes.
yeah. You were good enough at Contra that it would not surprise me if you were able to beat Metroid.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure I did. I remember being hanging out with my buddies and playing it for hours and hours, and all of us trying to beat it. I remember that stage. I remember you also have to shoot like those glass cylinders a bunch of times to get through. Like,
oh
you have to,
yeah.
go through each one, and I have it for the Wii as well. I downloaded it off the Wii, what do you call it, the Wii Network
console.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually I've played it in the last 5 years, but yeah, I think I beat it back in the day. It was a great game. I mean, I love using going into a ball and laying those bombs and using that to, you know, bounce yourself up to a little tube that you get into, and there's all these little tricks. Yeah, those lay out the little poops. It was just a great game.
A lot of fiber in Samus' diet.
Exactly. It was a classic game. Just so much different from anything else, too, that had been out before that.
Oh, definitely. I mean, at the time, it was it was said part of the reason they put the ball to the left of Samus, the one that the very first power-up in Metroid that lets you turn into a ball is to the left, because up until that point, gamers didn't realize that you
yep.
could backtrack in games. So,
yeah, everything was side-scrolling to the right.
Yeah, yeah. And I forgot to look up whether this game or Zelda came out first. But even then, Legend of Zelda is a totally different game. It's kind of slower.
It's top-down,
it's not as much of it. An action game as this one.
Zelda sucks too, by the way. If you've played it lately, I downloaded that for
the first one?
Virtual console. And it's a terrible game.
It's a drag. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just
a slog. Yeah, yeah. It has not aged well.
But it is similar in that you get items that let you unlock areas later. I mean, there's that overlap.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it takes the Metroid problem of not knowing where to go next, and like doubles down on it, since I had Nintendo Power as a kid. There's no way I could have been able to find like most of the entrances to a bunch of different levels, and like, you know, just how to beat the game, and never mind that second quest.
Quest?
Yeah, in Zelda.
I do not know of the second quest.
Oh, if you beat the game,
this is the first I'm hearing of it.
No, if you beat the game, you can play it again, and there's a more difficult, secondary mode.
Huh. Shows you how far I ever got.
Yeah, it's like the original New Game Plus.
I see.
Yeah, exactly. After completing the game, the player has access to a more difficult quest, officially referred to as the second quest, with new dungeon locations and layouts, different item placements, and stronger enemies. It was kind of the first game that offered you could do that for the whole friggin' game. Like, and go through it again. Or you can do what I did, because I also had trouble beating it as a kid. You can go straight to the second quest by starting a game with the file name Zelda. So if you have that on the virtual console, you can give it a try tonight, Zach.
I wonder how many I wonder how many kids bought Legend of Zelda, like, man, Legend of Zelda. Zelda's a cool name. I'm just gonna name myself Zelda. And then started off on like the hardest part, like right off the bat, and just could never get anywhere. That had to have happened.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably at least once, yeah.
They needed a better, a more secretive name.
Like, well, in now, Metroid, even though it came out later, it does not have a battery, like, battery save, like Zelda does.
Yeah, no.
Which is unfortunate in one way, because the passwords can be annoying to write down.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, the password system is also a bit buggy, in that you can just enter a random word sometimes, and it'll power you up. I think the most famous one is Justin Bailey, where people thought for years that must have been like someone that the game makers knew or something like that. And it's like, nope, it's just a random combination that happens to spell out someone's name, and it gives you all of the power-ups. So,
what?
Yeah,
it just happened to work out.
Yeah, it just happened to work out. Because there are other, like, combinations that are words, like Narpus Sword.
Narpus, yes, of course.
Well, it's the famous Greek myth.
It sounds like it could be.
The Narpus Sword.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
And it also... Well, the Narpus Sword one is more popular now because it gives you... it makes you invincible.
Oh.
So... but it's also... Let's see. There's Justin Bailey... There's one that's just all threes and all Ks, and that gives you 250.
So obviously someone was a clan
huge,
sympathizer who made
huge racist.
Yeah,
yep. That gives you 250 missiles and all the available energy tanks.
Of course, what you're going to need all that to defeat the Black Hordes.
Oh my god!
Oh no! And also, like I was saying, how there's just random combinations because they didn't program the game well. If you put in engage Ridley motherfucker, blah, 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 blah.
okay.
Get that bleep button ready.
Yeah.
Yep. That will
just
bring you back.
Just make more work for yourself.
That will bring you back to the title screen. It's not even a good. But also,
that's a horrible code.
If you use Dragon Ball Z.
Oh no.
Samus will spawn suitless in Norfair with 172 missiles, 5 energy tanks, and 30 units of energy.
That's cray.
Yeah.
So who was just sitting here typing random words into the game trying to see what worked?
Nerds.
I'm imagining they have a weight problem, whoever it is.
Well, what if there's one where Samus doesn't have a suit on? I should try my favorite anime, Dragon Ball Z.
I'll be honest, for a what year did Metroid come out? 88,
89, 87? Let's see. 87 in Japan. Oh no, 87 in North America. August, okay. 87.
So for a 9-year-old Zach, Samus was quite fetching.
Yeah.
And it was, yes. Mm-hmm. When Zero takes that suit off, it was all right.
I mean, Samus Aran, since then, they have not. She's quite the babe, especially in her Metroid Fusion suit, which is very fan servicey. I think is the term for it.
Mm.
Yeah, they gave her the treatment in Smash Brothers.
The treatment? They poured a beer over her head?
Yes, exactly. They said you don't belong in this game.
Give it a treatment.
Give it a treatment.
But also, she is, according to her official specs, she is 6'1". So she's
boy.
Tall drink of water.
Hard pass.
Wow.
Hard pass.
But anyways,
fun game.
Now, Super Metroid basically takes the basics of Metroid and just there are new powers added in, the space jump, which lets you jump continually. Like, you can just keep jumping and jumping, like, in midair. So you can basically jump to any area on the map.
Infinite double jump? Like, you just
jump? Yeah, it's basically an infinite double jump. It's one of the last power-ups you get. There's also the spring ball, which you don't even need to beat the game. I never found it in my first playthrough. The spring ball lets you jump while you are a ball. So it's pretty... Basically eliminates the need for boosting yourself up with bombs, which is helpful. It adds super missiles, which are regular missiles but 10 times stronger, mostly used for boss fights, and there are some doors that need to open up with them. And there are also power bombs, which are needed to clear out some obstacles, and also it's just way more convenient than bombs in some places. There's also a maneuver that they wrote about in Nintendo Power that I never actually had to use in the game. You can use a power bomb to recharge your energy by holding a certain button combination.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty neat, man. It was hinted at because Nintendo Power had a comic series based on Super Metroid that coincided with the game being released. And she does that.
Naturally.
Yep, and she does that in the comic. So, it's good times, man. And also, there are different gun power-ups. There's the spazer, which turns your one beam into three. There's plasma, which really amps up its power and makes it actually a viable weapon. And there's the standard ice and wave beam that lets you shoot through platforms and whatnot. So, that returns. So, overall, it's a solid game. You guys,
I agree.
When you go back and play it,
yeah. I mean, as we say, it does hold up, and it does get its hooks into you.
I want to
try to finish it out, even though we're recording now, and I don't need to play it anymore.
I mean, I wasn't planning to beat it again for, I don't know, this will be the fifth or sixth times. But it's one of those games, once I start it, I'm just like, oh, I gotta play this. It's that, Final Fantasy VII, and I don't even know what else. I think they might be the only two games in that category. Earthbound, I guess, is a pretty solid game. So,
I saw that green door, and I know I can get back to it.
Pretty just, much. Well,
I wake up in a cold sweat.
Oh, yeah. Well, the biggest addition, Backstack, which I'm not sure if you noticed or not when you were watching the game, is there is now an auto-mapping system. So whenever you hit start, whenever you hit start, you can see the map, which is very helpful.
Oh, yeah.
And a mini-map.
Mm-hmm. About the only thing you can't do is that it does not it doesn't let you enter notes. So you might have gone into a room with a power up that you can't get at currently. It'll show that you've been in that room and there's no way to, mark as unread or something like that. But it's a small quibble.
It's a bit advanced for a Super Nintendo game, Steven.
I demand excellence. Because this game is pretty beloved, it's held its value very well. It's currently $50 for just the game, just the loose cart. I mean, there are plenty of them floating around, but it's one of those games like Super Mario Kart or Super Mario World where people who have the game like it and they don't really, there's not a whole bunch of commons available for $5. If you have the box and manual, it's $134, and new copies of the game go for about $400. So.
Wow.
Yeah,
Giving a little peek behind the curtain, I was not able to participate. I was going to do it, but then I couldn't. The on the Evo episode, EVO.
Oh, true.
Oh, yes.
But
What I would have talked about if I was on is the fact that I have an original copy of EVO, Super Nintendo. And I think I looked it up last before that last recording. It was like $225 or something for the loose cartridge.
Yeah. No, EVO is one of the most valuable games for the Super Nintendo there.
Yeah, so looks like Zach Jr.'s going to college after all.
He might be able to buy a textbook.
You joke, exactly. But that, yeah, that is the price of a textbook.
That is literally true.
No, EVO is holding steady at $229.
Nice.
If you have the box and manual, it's $689.
Oh, man.
And the new price is $3,300, although there has not been a sale in, let's see, the last sale of a new copy was in 2011. So
you say new, you mean like unopened with like the cellophane on it?
Yeah, normally new means it's sealed.
Sealed, okay.
Like, I have a copy of Metroid. I bought it for $1 at a consignment shop, and it has the box and the manual. I think I got it, like, three or four years ago before people realized that, oh, yes, these are worth tons of money.
Yeah.
Like, currently, the boxed price for Metroid is $60. So I got a $59 profit so far.
Picturing you mining the local consignment shops for unopened copies of video games is giving me a lot of pleasure right now.
That was a dark vision.
to be fair, it was Halloween. Like that's the only time I go, and I basically, like every other douchebag, I'm just looking for like crappy clothing that I can wear for a Halloween costume.
So. Oh boy.
Hey Pete, you get any more Metroid copies in?
You know we don't put those out till Tuesday. I told you before.
I told you last week.
they had the one thing I remember besides getting Metroid for a dollar was they had so many VHS tapes. Like still just like a whole wall of VHS tapes and it's like, wow, who's gonna buy these? Like
we just got in People Under the Stairs last week.
We got Flowers for Algernon.
We got the box set of Young Indiana Jones on VHS. We're missing Volume 3, so I knocked a few dollars off of that one.
We just got in a brand new unopened Dr. Giggles.
Dr. Giggles? I don't even know what that is.
You guys remember the Langoliers, right?
The Langoliers.
We got both.
Oh boy.
Both tapes for that one.
Dr. Giggles was with that dude who was on like L.A. Law and played a retarded guy or something.
I have no idea what this is.
Someone out there will know what I'm talking
about. If only we had a movie podcast. This sounds like it would have been a good one.
It would have been a great one.
In 1957, Evan Rendell, played by Larry Drake, flees after his father's lynch for killing multiple patients in his effort to find a replacement heart for his ailing wife. After 35 years, Evan escapes from a mental institution and returns to town for revenge, killing off residents one by one. When Jennifer, Holly Marie Combs, how'd she get in this?
Oh, yeah.
And her friends break into the Rendell house out of morbid curiosity, Evan notices Jennifer has a heart condition similar to his mother and decides to make her his final victim. 8.4 million at the box office.
That's not bad.
Yeah, does Holly Marie Combs show her combs?
I don't believe so. Is that the chick from like that witches show or something?
Is that even a euphemism?
I think she's on Charmed.
Charmed. That's the witch show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charmed. Yeah, the only one.
She used to come into the Petco I used to work at. I swear to God.
Did you sell her anything?
I don't think. I think it just drooled over her from the fish room.
Did she ever bring Alyssa Milano?
Oh, you know what?
Oh.
I think they did come in both together. I think they lived over.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
That's much more memorable.
Yeah. Joe, no. you know who else used to come in? Was Sinbad.
You could have given me 100 guesses and never would have landed on Sinbad.
Yeah, it was fantastic. He wore he looked just like he did back in the day. He had those like bright blue, neon blue jumpsuits and shit.
And the golden rings and whatnot.
It was amazing. Yeah.
You say back in the day, but wherever he is now, I imagine Sinbad is not far from a colored flannel.
Yeah. Joe Rogan came in a couple times, too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he stole he stole a bucket from me.
What?
Yeah. I used to... He had Oscars, you know, those big fish that you have tanks that they're... You ever heard of an Oscar?
No.
Type of fish.
Only the grouch.
It's a big tropical fish that generally grows too big for the tank. People buy them. They eat other fish. A lot of people, like weirdos, buy them, and then they feed them a bunch of goldfish and watch them get eaten. And he had Oscars. He brought them in. He was doing a water change on his tank or something. And I can't remember exactly the circumstances, but he needed to borrow a 5-gallon bucket to bring his Oscar home from the store. Like, he brought it in for some reason. Or, I don't know. I can't remember exactly what happened.
It's like when, you give your dog a ride in the car. Bring your Oscar out.
Exactly. But he needed my bucket to take the fish home. Or maybe he brought him to us because he needed us to take care of him or something for a little while he changed the water. I don't know. But the bottom line is he took my bucket, and I said to him, I walked out to his car with him to help him with something. I'm like, hey, just don't forget to bring that bucket back. I need it. He's like, oh, yeah, no problem, bro. Never saw it again.
Ah. Oh,
Not surprising.
Thanks, so, Rogan.
You should take your dispute with him to the octagon. Take him down.
Anyway, that's my Joe Rogan story.
You call it fish fight. 2016.
Yeah. Slap a tort on him. Who knows what you would be doing if you still had that bucket?
You're right.
Could have been assistant manager at Petco.
Yeah.
That was a red mark on your record.
I was assistant manager.
Oh, never mind. You could have been manager.
Yeah, could have been.
That's why you only stayed assistant.
Could have been a district rep.
That bucket disappeared under your watch.
It was a black mark, for sure.
Yeah. What are we going to transport the carp in today?
What are we going to throw the dead hamsters into when we clean the cages out?
Oh, man, that place, I know we're getting a little far afield here, not talking about video games. But that place was an abattoir.
Oh, no.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Like back...
A James Cameron movie?
it was a slaughterhouse. I mean, there's so many dead animals. It was really bad.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sure.
Things would die all the time.
It was the Auschwitz of pet stores.
Seriously, it was. It was bad.
Oh,
boy.
Yeah. It didn't start to change until somebody, brought in a hidden video camera and did an expose on them.
Guys, this just animals don't like being in cages.
Well, they were in poor health, and the thing was you didn't want to waste money take him to the vet, so basically it was like a death sentence. If anything got injured, it was taken in the back and put down.
Oh no.
Yeah.
This is
mouse is limping. Oh.
It's dark. It's a good thing that last Metroid didn't end up in the pet cup.
You're right.
Well, if there was like a sick mouse or hamster, did you have snakes there too?
Yeah, but you didn't want the snakes to get a disease,
Two birds with one stone here.
You can't feed the snakes diseased animals.
Well, I don't know if it's diseased. Snakes are hardy.
That's true.
Yeah, Jake the snake brought the same snake down to the ring for 10 years. I'm sure it was just that one. It was just one snake. It wasn't multiple snakes, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Sorry. Bring it back to
now,
the
now
that would
with,
be worthy detour. That was good.
With Super Metroid, you start. I know it's the big secret at the end of the first Metroid where, oh man, it was a chick the whole time, and you take the helmet off.
Yeah.
But at the start of this one, you're in like a a one-piece little suit running around as Samus, completely nude.
What?
Wow. Really?
You don't have the suit.
In the very first thing? Yeah, you do.
No, afterwards.
No,
what game was I playing?
You're thinking of you're thinking of either Zero Mission or Metroid Fusion.
No, I'm in Super Metroid. You start out and you're in like this purple suit thing, and your hair's flowing out. You're not in like the normal Samus suit. And I was about to ask when you find it later. Like, when do you eventually find it? Because I got pretty far without any kind of suit.
I you might be playing a hacked ROM or something there, Huel.
I don't understand.
You have the normal suit in Super Metroid.
Well, that's quite the.
I mean, there are. This game is pretty beloved in the hacking and ROM community, and there are many different versions of it.
Well, the thing is, in the manual, which of course I found, it says there's two suit items. There's the Various suit.
Yes.
Which looks like the standard orange Metroid suit.
Yep.
Along with the purple gravity suit.
Now, yes, but they just change the color of your existing suit.
So what is your existing suit before the Various suit?
It's some crappy normal suit. This game,
crappy's not a color.
Well, it is.
Poop brown.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm trying to load my ROM for my legally purchased game, of course.
I mean, I had missiles, I had the morph ball, I had all sorts of shit, and I still had no suit.
You started with missiles?
No. I said, as I was playing through, like, that's how far I got. I was getting items, and I was like, when do I get the damn suit?
Oh. I mean, the suit upgrades come later in the game. But no, it's just, like you start in kind of, it looks like a canary yellow suit in this one.
I don't know what I did then.
Yeah.
You're saying after you escape the planet in the first 3 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have the suit. And then when you emerge from the ship landing on the other planet, the suit should be on already?
Yeah.
That did not happen for me.
You might be playing a different version of the game or something there. Did you also, I don't know, we'll have to investigate this further.
Oh boy.
But no, I don't think there is a suitless version of this game to play. Like, the original Metroid, you could put in a password and play as Samus without her suit.
Nude Samus.
Yeah, it's called something like that. Nude or naked Samus. Suitless.
Nope. All right. I guess I'll have to look into what the hell happened there.
Super Metroid Suitless.
I just went to our normal source and got the ROM.
Oh. No, I'm looking. Sorry,
We can figure it out later. It's fine.
Yeah. No, the closest thing to suitless is just in the base suit is kind of like a little thinner than the other ones, but I mean you can't really tell that Samus is a chick still. I think it's just in the Super Metroid manual it might tell you that she is, though.
Yeah, they say her all over the place in the manual.
Yeah, that too.
Blew the lid off that one.
and in the voiceover for the game, I think it mentions that it says her or something like that.
Yeah, the intro video shows her face and stuff.
Smooth for Super Metroid. But no, I don't know. It's a good game.
Yeah.
It's our fallback for everything.
That's about it, yeah.
Well, the little bit of the history here, and we can use this to talk about some of the later games in the series. Although Super Metroid got stellar reviews, like the previous games, the whole series has been one of Nintendo's lower sellers. Of course, for Nintendo, that still means it sold a million copies. But it meant it was on the development back burner for a while. In 2002, Nintendo released two follow-ups, Metroid Prime for the GameCube and Metroid Fusion for the Game Boy Advance. Both reestablished the series and sold well, with follow-ups continuing until Other M in 2010 for the Wii. This game was a bit of a mess, as it turned Samus into an oddly frail, submissive heroine, instead of letting her be the hunter.
Did you say heroine?
Heroine?
Yes.
Heroine.
Just checking.
I don't like to mention the spike on the show.
Spike. Ride the H-Train.
Since then, there's been one announced sequel, Federation Force. Instead of being a sequel to the Prime series, or a new 2D game like the long-canceled Metroid Dread, Federation Force was announced as a four-player co-op first-person shooter. Even though it's still early in development, pretty much every serious Metroid fan voiced their displeasure to Nintendo about the direction the series has gone. And that's kind of where we stand right now. Where the past... You know, going on 6 years, everything about the Metroid series has been weird in Nintendo ways. So,
I had Prime, and I love that game. It's like on par with Super Metroid as far as excellent Metroid games.
You know, it's weird. I got Prime, and I played it for a little bit, but I just didn't like the perspective as much. I liked it, but I just got distracted by other games and never really went back to it. So
yeah,
it's kind
I mean,
of
it's almost the same structure where you're getting items and unlocking areas based on the items and just exploring more and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's basically just Super Metroid in 3D.
Yeah, but I'm not a big 3D person.
Get out of here.
I also had problems though with like Ocarina of Time and that kind of stuff.
What is you in words today? Or you're out the.
I don't know.
You're out the window.
Ocarina.
Yes.
Or Ocarina of Time. It's a game about whales.
The real heroine in Ocarina of Time is Zelda. She's the true hero.
Sack, did you ever manage to play any of the Wii or the GameCube Metroids here?
No, I was. I had the PlayStation, so I wasn't didn't ever get any of those.
Yeah,
from 96 on, that was no more Nintendo for me.
Oh, you grew up. You became a man.
Exactly. I became a man. Yeah.
I only had PlayStation.
I mean,
system.
I did get a GameCube, but it was way after, like, it was while the GameCube was dying for like $20. So
wow.
Well, I got a Melee or Melee.
Melee.
And that was a good game. So, what other game did I need for my GameCube?
Double Dash, Metroid Prime.
I've cards.
Wind Waker. Eternal Darkness.
Wind Waker or Wind Walker?
Wind Waker. You're waking the wind with your music.
I see.
Twilight Princess.
I don't think they'd like to be called princesses.
Twilight heroine.
Jeebus. Actually, I did not check to see whether Super Metroid is still available on the virtual console, but I believe it is. So, if anyone listening wants to purchase it legally, you know, it's now cheaper to just buy a Wii and buy it for that. So, as opposed to
if Metroid Prime's on there, I also highly recommend it.
Oh yeah, well they did a re-release of Metroid Prime, like Metroid Trilogy, I think it's called, and that has the three Prime games.
I did play Metroid Prime. I don't know if it's called the sort of sequel to it. Do you have that listed?
The sequel, I believe,
something
is
like
Hunter.
Dark... What
Hunters?
No, it's like Dark Clone or Dark Shadow or There's like an evil Samus in it that you're chasing around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That one was a lot harder. I don't think I ever beat that one.
Yeah, and there's also evil Samus also shows up in Metroid Fusion, where it's you know, it's some sort of Samus made with her DNA, and you know, as the series has gone along, they've like that's the reason they've been for, you know, why she's powerful and why, you know, they can clone her, and why the Mother Brain keeps showing up and why Ridley keeps showing up. So like it's basically DNA cloning and that kind of thing. There's Metroid Prime, Metroid Prime 2, Echoes, and Metroid Prime
Echoes.
3. Oh, Metroid Prime 3, Corruption.
Yeah, Echoes is the one I played and never beat. Never did 3.
Well, so... 3 came out for the Wii, which means you almost certainly had to buy a controller for it instead of using that stupid Wiimote. So,
well, you got the nunchuck stick.
Oh God, I hated that. I hated having to play anything serious on the Wii.
Open your mind, man.
Yeah, it's only good. It's only good for the Wii Sports.
Yeah, it's good for playing.
That's
tennis
all I ever do with it. Yeah,
close-minded.
And Guitar Hero. People. That was my Guitar Hero series system. Was the Wii?
Ah, I use that. I had PlayStation 3 for that.
Well, you're a better man than. Than we are, than I was at least. Well, I think we're rounding things out here on Metroid. Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to add about the Troid here?
Not quite on the Troid. I think I'm good. Just that it's a good series in general.
Mm-hmm. I mean, except for other M kind of got iffy reviews because it. It Other M also has like 15-minute cutscenes.
Well, I'm vouching for up to Prime. I didn't play anything after that.
Okay. Well, that's also part of the reason why people didn't like it, is that like all the other Metroid games are kind of minimalist, and in this one it has like full action cutscenes and also voices. That pretty much left people upset. So Zach, did you have anything else you wanted to add about Metroid here?
Nah. I'm good. I'm good.
Alrighty then. Let's see. Let's move right along here to the email portion of the show. First up, Todd, did you get any emails?
No, I don't get anything. I'm stupid.
My box is empty.
I peed on my computer and shorted it out, and I can't read anything. I thought it was the toilet. Boop, boop, boop.
Poor Todd.
That's a shame.
He's drowning work from Shiva and Ifrit and Bahamut. They're all keeping him at the office.
Shiva.
All right, well, Huel, did you get any emails this week?
Yes, I managed to not urinate on my computer, and I received one email.
Mm-hmm.
It is from ScooterBud42!
Oh!
Scooty
writes, "Dear YPB boys, I took your call to action from last week and called that Konami hint line that Huel found in the game manual. I started scraping together some change, and a few hours later, I had enough to try the call. I think he said it was 70 cents per minute on that episode, but it seems like the prices have gone up in the 20 years since the game came out. The lady on the line told me it was $2 for the first minute, and $1 per minute after that. She also said she could make all my fantasies come true, which sounds about right for a video game tip line. I asked her... Jeez... You're right.
Backstack really enjoyed that.
Sorry. These are the highlight of the show for me.
I asked her to give me a tip, and she said she had someone that could help me with that. A man with a very deep voice came on the line and said some things that made me very uncomfortable. I don't know how they're still in business after the things I heard. Anyway, what video game series do you wish would come back? Shaken up but still listening, ScooterButt42.
Ah, oh, that's a good ask.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Scooty, for trying that out for the show.
Mm-hmm. Backsack, did you have an answer, or do you want me to go first?
I'd say the first thing that came to mind was Siphon Filter. You guys ever play that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
PlayStation.
I played a bit of that.
That game was great.
Wasn't it like, kind of like a
Metal Gear? It was a Metal Gear Solid ripoff.
Exactly.
Wasn't it kind of like a stealth and sniper focused game?
Yeah, but the thing that set it apart from a lot of other games was it had a good two-player mode where you could play your buddy and snipe each other, and we spent many a long night playing that game, sniping each other, me and my buddies.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Yeah,
I mean, it had some weird gameplay issues, you know. It wasn't, it was, you know, 99 maybe? 2000?
Yeah, so, it was around then.
Yeah, around then. It wasn't the best game. Like, it doesn't hold up now, but I think it could be something they could bring back and do a better version of, for sure. Like something more Metal Gear Solid-y.
Now, have you ever played the... what the F were they? the what was the Tom Clancy stealth series?
No, Rainbow Six or something?
No, it's... Siege, help me out here.
I never played them. I my guess was Rainbow Six as well.
No. It was Steve, you answer. I'll look this up.
Tom Clancy.
Answer Scooty's question.
Splinter Cell?
There you go.
Splinter Cell, yeah. No,
yeah,
I never.
That is a more modern Siphon Filter.
Oh, okay.
If you want to check those out. They were really good.
Okay. Yeah,
I think I played the first three. And actually,
I misspoke. It's Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell.
Yes.
Well, not Splinter Cell. It's Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell.
My brain was not helping me.
It also came out for the N-Gage.
Oh, remember that?
Oh, wow.
Failure? That epic failure? Jesus Christ.
Remember that failure?
Yeah.
That was almost as bad as a 3DO.
Really?
Oh. At least the N-Gage didn't cost $700 when it came out.
Yeah, God, so ridiculous.
Although apparently it cost $300. Jesus Christ!
Wow.
I mean, it was kind of ahead of its time by being a phone and a video game system. Although they kind of got wrong, like how people would want that.
Yeah.
So. Oh well, too bad for them. The series that came to mind for me. A couple. College football and college basketball games from...
I have, yeah.
EA or 2K.
I have that written down.
Yeah, at this point, even, you know, I'd take EA giving me some stuff. I never liked their basketball games, but I just need something.
I'm very sad that the college football series is gone.
Yeah, man. I mean,
I probably bought like six of those.
Yeah. I have the last one, and it's good, but, you know, I feel like I kind of liked weird new recruiting each year.
That was my favorite part, too.
Yeah, they would change the recruiting for no good reason, and you'd have to learn a new system, but it was kind of fun. Nice. My other picks were Super Nintendo / Game Boy Advance stuff, Super Metroid, which we already talked about. Like, the last 2D Metroid game was, I think it was Fusion or Zero Mission, and they came out in like the mid-2000s, so it's close to a decade for like a 2D Metroid game.
They could probably do a really good one on the 3DS.
Yeah, you would think. And also,
you
like,
would.
And to me, like, I don't know, a 2D game can't like cost as many resources as a 3D game, and like some of the next gen stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm sure they already have like a gameplay design system in place, and look at what they did with Mario Maker. Like, they have those tools at their disposal. Just use them on Metroid. And the other one, Brisket, unfortunately, isn't here, but it would be Earthbound, which that was a really fun series. There was a sequel for the Game Boy Advance that was only in Japan. It got translated by fans for the U.S. market, but it's kind of like a weird side game that's a little bit maudlin at times. So, you know, I'd like a proper sequel to Earthbound. So,
right.
What were your picks there, Huel?
Well, besides NCAA football, one that came to mind was Perfect Dark. Because I know we're inundated with first-person shooters these days, but they're all just kind of mindless action games. And I want that, like, sort of spy, mission-based, like, objective-based first-person shooter to come back.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Because they were fun.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So a game like that would be cool. I know they did a little bit. I know there was a Perfect Dark sequel for the 360 that I don't think really took off. And they actually did a re-release of Perfect Dark on the 360. Mm-hmm. But other than that, they haven't done anything.
No, it's one of those dormant kind of series. For no real good reason, seemingly. There's a bunch of those.
Maybe the sequel didn't sell well enough, and they just stamped the big red X on it. And just didn't bother.
Yeah.
This will never work.
Well, I know it would be weird if you had gotten an email back, Zach, but did you get any emails this week about the show?
Surprisingly, I did.
Oh.
What? Huh.
Yeah. It is kind of odd, but it'll make more sense eventually. Mm-hmm. So I did get an email. Okay. It starts, "Dear Backzack," which is odd in and of itself. I wanted to take this time to write and provide you with some information about a topic that is near and dear to my heart. Apartheid. I know that it has gotten some bad press lately, but I really believe that this is because most people, perhaps you included, just do not have all the facts. That's where I come in. I'm writing to clear up some widely propagated myths about this venerable old institution. First, the land distribution among blacks and whites in South Africa was not unfair. Some irresponsible folks have cited numbers as high as 87% land for whites and 13% for blacks. What they don't consider is that 70% of that 87% is made up of less than ideal semi-desert lands where no one, white or black, would want to have their nail salons. Second, black education was not substandard. The South African government spent billions to establish decent educational institutions for blacks. However, their inferior genetic makeup prevented them from absorbing the education that they were so graciously provided.
Why is this happening?
That does not count as a strike against apartheid. I hope this letter helps you understand apartheid just a little bit better. Should you have more questions, please do not hesitate to give me a ring to discuss. Yours truly, Huel Hauser.
Oh, wow.
I forgot I signed my name on that one. I was trying to act shocked.
Yeah, I know. I was pretty surprised to get it, but, you know.
Huh, okay.
I didn't know you were such a fan of apartheid.
Egg on my face. Look, I just like to clarify misconceptions. I mean, there's always that guy that everyone hates that points out the truth.
Yeah.
But sorry, open your eyes, people.
It's okay to be against something, but just have all the facts.
It's a lot easier to keep your head in the sand than to make the effort to pull it out. So, all right.
Thank you.
That's what you want to do.
Fine. Thanks for opening my eyes. I appreciate it.
Good. You're welcome.
What are friends for?
Exactly. Except that.
Advise on apartheid.
Blame Huel for that one.
Yeah. Blame me for spreading the truth.
So anyways, let's see. I received one email. Hey guys.
Is that apartheid?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I only sent one.
Okay. Well, in a way, it's about relationships.
Huh.
Hey, guys, it's the final game for Kobe Bryant. Did you ever play NBA Courtside? Also, what's your favorite sport to play in video games? Sincerely, Vanessa Bryant.
Oh.
Huh.
It's nice for her to it must be a busy schedule for her to...
It's a big night, so yeah, I don't know.
Incidentally, I was just looking at her on TV just not an hour ago.
Hmm. Oh.
Yeah. And she wasn't walking into Petco?
No. Yeah. How many times did she come to your Petco?
Zero.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
I played NBA Courtside for N64.
I'd never heard of it.
So yeah, never heard of it.
It's an okay basketball game. Nothing great. What about the favorite sports game to play video games on?
I mean, football is always a go-to because it's kind of easy to pick up, but I think hockey's always going to be my favorite because it is my favorite sport anyway, so probably hockey games.
Mm. Yeah, I go with baseball.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah, I like a good baseball game.
I think baseball might be my least favorite of the four majors.
Huh.
Because you made us do that effing baseball game for this show.
Oh, bases loaded?
Yeah.
Well, it was World Series time, Huel.
Yeah.
We needed to stay hip and current and modern with the kids.
The gloves are off. I was just bored to death playing that one.
All those kids who love baseball.
Yeah.
Just
play it all summer.
I think probably the most fun I've ever had playing a sports video game, though, was NBA Street. Did you ever play that for PlayStation?
Ooh.
Yeah, those games are fun.
Yeah, that was great. Putting all those nations together.
There's an NFL version of that, too.
I think NFL I played Street.
I don't know if it was called Street, but it was something like that.
I think it was.
Okay.
I feel like Ricky Williams might have been on the cover.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
It does look like he is.
Is he?
Yes.
Wow, pretty good. When did that come out?
Mid-2000s?
I don't know. It's Ricky Williams as a dolphin, too.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, that would be like 2007, 2008?
No, this is 2004. Taller than that.
Yeah.
2004?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Actually, I think this is just a Ricky Williams lookalike who is on the cover.
Yeah.
But who knows? Those games are fun. I like them. I mean, my favorite game probably is football to play on video games because it's much easier to do the full season. Like, you can conceivably play a full season, whereas with basketball and baseball and hockey, it's tougher.
Yeah.
If I'm doing franchise in hockey, I usually knock the number of games down significantly.
Yeah, playing a baseball franchise is ridiculous with 162. No. Just because.
Yeah.
That's masochism.
Yeah.
Yeah, typically for the season modes for those games, I'll just kind of act as the GM.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, do my best to get them in the playoffs, and then the playoff games I'll play.
Yeah.
I take control.
If you count pro wrestling as a sport, I mean, I love those games too.
So. And we don't.
It's an athletic competition.
Is it, though?
It's an athletic spectacle.
It's definitely my favorite gymnastics game is WWE, Raw vs. SmackDown.
Yes.
Oh, we should have had Jackie on for the WrestleFest show, since wrestling really is like gymnastics.
Oh, yeah.
Missed opportunity.
Can be judged.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Work great.
My fan reaction.
Stars. All right. So I think we're wrapping up here. Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to add before we signed off here?
By firing on the balls that are held by many of the Chozo statues, you'll receive special items.
They do indeed love to hold balls. Zach, thanks for guesting. And anything you want to plug? Any passion projects?
What? Passion projects?
Is there a new
Petco location opening?
No, yeah, I'm starting a new podcast. It's Petco Memories.
Ooh.
I would listen.
The Petco Petcast.
Yeah. Maybe you could tie it in with Huel's memories of the arcade and my time at Dunkin' Donuts. Working Schlubs podcast.
My favorite feature that lasted 10 episodes.
Yeah, I mean,
because I forgot about it.
Well, we also stopped. We haven't done as many arcadey games lately, so
yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, Zach, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
No, thanks for having me. It was a good time, as always.
All right. Thank you. Oh no, thank you.
No, thank you. Look, thank you.
Listen, I need to focus on the heroines in next week's game. and here's a snifferoo from that game, which may or may not have heroines in it.
Wherever there's a hang-up, you'll find a Spider-Man.